know, the Bible is very clear. A spiritual realm exists in our world that cannot be seen unless it's revealed to us. However, sometimes the veil is pulled back and we get glimpses into that realm. And we get that sneak peek into the spiritual world in today's study on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, inviting you to grab your copy of God's Word and join us as we journey through Daniel chapter 10. So while you find your place in the Scriptures and you grab a seat on the Bible bus, Greg Harris, my friend and Through the Bible's president, and I want to share with you an update from the Bible bus in the country of Lithuania.
That's right. Many of us might have to pull out Google Maps or the Atlas to find Lithuania, but it is in Central Europe, and it's a wonderful ministry that we have. We're on FM radio with the full five-year series.
Yep.
We're on the internet. We've been broadcasting 18 years now, since 2001.
Yeah, like so many languages, we have had such a long-standing commitment day in and day out, Monday through Friday broadcasting.
And Steve, I hear over and over again that that's one of the reasons that God honors our ministry, because we uphold our commitment. We couldn't do it without our prayer supporters and our financial supporters. But let's jump into these great responses that we've gotten from the ministry.
Yeah, the first one is an email from Katrina. When I was in a really difficult period of my life, I accidentally found this program. I love that whenever people accidentally
We love those accidents.
In the providence of God.
Yes.
The first sentence I heard was exactly the one I needed most at that moment, and now I cannot even recall what was said. That's interesting. I just remember that overwhelming feeling that God was present. I was so grateful to know that He cares for me and helps me. I am still affected by this. I now listen regularly.
And Steve, we kind of smiled at each other and joked about that. But if you're a new listener to Through the Bible, get used to hearing this, that someone stumbled upon the program or quote unquote accidentally heard it. We often hear letters from around the world. I was looking for some music and I heard the music on your program, and then they hear the teaching. Yeah. And so this is the sovereignty of God at work.
And the Holy Spirit.
And the Holy Spirit as we faithfully hold out the word of life. Now, here's an email from Jonas in Lithuania. I've had a number of difficulties in my life. At certain times, even those closest to me have abandoned me. That's when I found your program. Through God's Word, I have learned that people can easily disappoint us, but God never does. He is faithful and true to His promises.
Wow, such an encouragement.
And Steve, another thing that we often like to point out to our listening family is that the people around the world are just like us. They have the same concerns. Jonas talked about feeling abandoned. He talked about people disappointing him. And sometimes it's easy for us to kind of depersonalize people on the other side of the earth. But one of the values of our traveling, and you've been in different countries, you see these people face to face. They hurt like we hurt. They have hopes and dreams and families and disappointments. And isn't it great that we get to be there to help people navigate life, and they get to do it with God?
Yeah. If you'd like to be an active prayer supporter of Through the Bible around the world, we'd encourage you to go to ttb.org/pray, sign up for that daily email, joining our world prayer team. You will be glad you did. You will be blessed by doing it. Greg, open us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can bring your word to a country like Lithuania and so many other countries, dozens of countries around the world, and to millions of people. We pray that you will continue to sovereignly reach out with your word and transform people's lives. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today, friends, I'm coming to the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel, chapter 10. And if you have your Bible open there at the 10th chapter, let me say that the last three chapters that we're coming to now, chapters 10, 11, and 12, are ordinarily considered one vision. And the theme here relates to the nation Israel in the immediate future and then in the latter days. We have here, for instance, a historical little horn and the little horn of the latter days. Now, these last three chapters should be treated as one vision. Some consider this last vision in the three chapters to be the greatest of all the visions of Daniel. Now, that may be true, but it certainly is a remarkable and a unique section. And there are certain features here which are different from all other chapters in Daniel, in fact, different from any section of the Word of God. And I'm going to examine, of course, each chapter separately as we come to this 10th one. And there's another, I think, outstanding feature that we should mention here. All was prophetic when given here. But at the present time, much has been fulfilled, belongs to history. And a great deal is still prophetic, that is, in the future, to be fulfilled in the last days. And I must confess, it's rather difficult to draw a line of demarcation and to say which is on one side and which is on the other side. But this is a method that we find running through the Word of God, and that has been the double reference, which refers to that which is local and refers to that which is in the distant future. And I think, though, the fulfillment of that in the immediate future, which has been fulfilled literally, gives us the key for the future. Now, here in chapter 10, we have the preparation for the last vision by the prayer of Daniel and the appearance of a heavenly messenger. And we have first the time, place, and preparation of Daniel for the vision. Now, I think the key to understanding this chapter and the other two chapters is this. It's found here in verse 14. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. That is, it'll be a long time before it will be fulfilled. And it concerns Daniel's people, Israel, and I surely hope you won't get the church all mixed up in this section, because it's made very clear by Daniel that he's talking about his people here. And then there's something else that's unique about this chapter here, and we're moving into a very eerie section. Maybe you'd call it weird, strange. The veil of the spiritual world is partially and momentarily going to be pulled aside and let you get a look. There's nothing here to satisfy the morbid curiosity of an idle spectator. There's enough here, however, to produce a beneficial and sobering effect upon the humble believer, and it was the effect that it had upon Daniel. It ought to have that effect upon us, not just to satisfy idle curiosity. And we're going to see here that there is an intrusion made into the spiritual realm. It's going to introduce the believer to the order of angels, both good and bad, both fallen and unfallen. And we are going to see here something of the kingdom of Satan that is about us today. There's been a great deal said about that recently and written about it. And I think a great many people take a little fact and they make a whole lot of fiction out of it. We're going to try to stick to the facts that are here. And we're going to see the order of demons, that they are in orders and that the angels are in ranks and positions and orders. That's exactly what Paul said in Colossians 1:16. He says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." Now he makes a separation of God's creation, not only that which is in heaven and that which is in earth, but that which is visible and that which is invisible. And there's a great realm today that's invisible. We are discovering that there are a great many things in this world of energy and this world about us that we know very little about even today. But we are finding here that he created, we're told, thrones. That would be the archangels like Michael and Gabriel and other special envoys. And then there are dominions, where there are cherubims and seraphims. And then there are principalities. They were generals. They are the brass. And then there are powers. And in that, they're privates, such as serve as guardian angels. Now, some from the rank of principalities, that is, generals, they fell away to Satan. And we're told that in Ephesians 6:12. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, and that is against principalities. Now, Satan has his angels organized according to rank. Just as one army is set over against another, there are generals on both sides. Well, his principalities, his generals, they seem to have the oversight of nations. They're powers, and they are privates. They are demons who want to possess human beings. They're rulers of the darkness of this world. They are demons who have charge of Satan's worldly business. And I think he has a lot of monkey business going on down here. And then there's spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. There are demons who have charge of religion. You may not realize that, but Satan's department of religion is the largest department of all. He's in the business of religion. A great many think he's in the opposite. Absolutely not. Now, these two groups are in the arena of this universe that we live in, and it comes to this earth at times, and they're engaged in a ceaseless warfare to capture here the souls of men. And this subject will be pursued further now as we move into this chapter here. Now, first of all, we have the time, place, and preparation of Daniel for the vision. And I'm reading verse 1 of chapter 10 of Daniel. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. It was in the third year of Cyrus, that was 534 B.C., and that was 4 years after the vision of the 70 weeks. And at this time, I think that Daniel was retired, no longer active. And a thing was revealed to Daniel. And it suggests, of course, a new mode of communication. And the thing, or the word, was true, but the time appointed was long. And that indicates that the final fulfillment was in the distance, not the immediate future. And he understands the thing, that is the word, and he had understanding of the vision. Now, it reveals that this vision was made crystal clear to Daniel. Now, verses 2 and 3 of chapter 10, and I'm reading, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." He didn't take a bath for 3 weeks. And he says here, the cause of Daniel's mourning and exercise of soul is not for us to see. It was the third year of Cyrus. Now, in his first year, Cyrus had made a decree which permitted Israel, you will recall, to return to the land of Palestine. And 2 full years had elapsed, and only a paltry few under Zerubbabel had returned. And actually, those under Ezra and Nehemiah hadn't even gone back. And this was a rigorous time for Daniel. It brought grief to the heart of this aged prophet of God, for he's now a man past 90 years of age, and he was following a lifetime practice. He was retired now from active participation in office, and evidently having served through the first year of Cyrus, now, after retirement, he gave himself entirely to the service of God. And he fasted 3 weeks because he did not get an immediate answer to his prayer. That was the reason. Verse 4, I'm reading now, "And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel." Now, the place is located. The great river Hiddekel is the Tigris River, and the time is the month Nisan, and it's April the 24th that is given to us. We're certainly being given dates now, and this is something difficult for the critic to wrestle with, because whoever wrote this with dealing with dates, and they don't give a late date for Daniel. Now, he's given a vision, first of all, the vision of Christ glorified. And I think that Daniel saw the transfiguration before either Moses or Elijah. You see, there'd always been three representatives. Moses represented the law, and the thing was that Elijah represented the prophets. But Daniel represented a very particular group of those that had been in exile. And now he's given it ahead of time for his encouragement. Will you notice now? Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl. His face was as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now, this is a new method of revelation. No longer does Daniel see an image or a vision of beasts or weeks, but he sees a certain man. Now, who is the certain man? Now, some very excellent expositors hesitate to identify him, and they dodge the dilemma by saying he was a heavenly visitor. That's generalizing, all right, and you couldn't miss that very far. But that's not exegesis of the passage. We believe him to be Christ. When the Lord Jesus was on earth, he gave many parables, some of which concern the activity of a certain man. You remember how he would begin one of his parables? A certain man. Now, that certain man was generally God the Father or God the Son. And so, in the verse before us, the certain man is identified further by his person and dress. And what a striking similarity there is to the vision of Christ after his ascension into glory as seen by John in the book of Revelation. And now let me just turn to Revelation 1:12 and begin reading. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle, his head and his hairs a white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. Now, that's a vision of Christ. And I believe Daniel saw Christ, not in his pre-incarnation, but he saw him as the post-incarnate Christ in his office of priestly intercessor and judge and great shepherd of the sheep, because after all, Israel as well as the church are called his sheep. Moses and Elijah were present at the transfiguration of Jesus recorded in the Gospels. Daniel was not present. Why? He'd already witnessed the transfiguration, and this is the record. Now, notice the effect it had on Daniel, and I don't think any ordinary angel or archangel would have had this effect on him. Verse 7, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quake, and fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves." Now, others were with Daniel, but he alone saw the vision. Now, it's evident from the many recorded incidents that only the Holy Spirit can identify the Lord Jesus Christ for man. And that's what he's doing here. You remember the Lord Jesus said, "He shall glorify me. He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." And Paul had a similar experience. You remember on the road to Damascus? "And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth. When his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand, brought him into Damascus." He was blinded. He'd seen the glorified Christ. Now I go back to the 8th verse here of the 10th of Daniel. Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Now he was left alone, and that is a marvelous, wonderful experience of the man of God. Every man of God wants to be left alone. You know, many have followed eagerly and joyfully in his train. Abraham left Ur, finally his kindred, and he was alone with God yonder at that altar. Moses was sent to the backside of the desert of Midian, and at the burning bush he was alone with God. Elijah was disciplined by the brook Kerith, and God was with him. Jeremiah walked a lonely path, but God was with him. John the Baptist was in the desert alone, and God was with him. Paul had 2 years of solitary confinement on the same desert, and that was God's way of being with him. And the Apostle John was exiled on the lonely Isle of Patmos, and God was with him. You know, today, so many people, oh, if we can all come together and have a great prayer meeting or have a great meeting together. My friend, have you ever tried being alone? That's where God's going to meet you, not in a crowd. When you're alone with him, why don't you take the word of God and go off alone with him? It'll do you a lot of good. I love this radio. Someone said to me, Dr. McGee, are you speaking to an audience when you make those tapes? And I said, no. And they said, well, you just seem to me like you're talking to me. Well, I said, if you want to know the truth, I am, but I'm alone. And that's the one time I'm alone. I'm right now in the studio. All doors are closed. And I'm alone with God. I want you to know that. And it's wonderful, friends. And I think that's when God speaks to you. And I've come to the conclusion that it's a time like this that God's been able to use this weak bit of clay here to get out the word of God, that it goes out young and becomes effective. And I don't know how it does it, but I do know this, it's worth being alone with God. The ungodly and the unbeliever, they want to get to the nightclub. They're gregarious. They want to have a drink with somebody. They run in packs. They form mobs. They have a great group to protest something. They don't stand alone. Oh, to stand alone today. And that is a wonderful day. You know, Jacob tried to avoid it, but God pushed him in the corner. And that night, you'll recall that God wrestled with him at Peniel, and God broke through and broke his leg in order to get that man. And Daniel is alone, and he's alone with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's had this vision, and this is the vision, and he says, no strength is in me. It's had a tremendous effect upon him. Some of us need this experience. Verse 9, yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. Now, Daniel apparently lapsed into unconsciousness, and I don't know how long he was there, but the Lord Jesus then left him. And when he came to, an angel had come to minister to him, and we're told here, in verse 10, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. Now we're going to see next time that this messenger is going to open up that spirit world that you and I know so little about today. And let's not try to know more than is written, especially here, for this is probably the greatest chapter on it. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Tomorrow, as we look deeper into the spiritual world, we must take heart in the truth that God's word is the final authority and our place of greatest protection and provision. Daniel did that, like few others in the Bible. We get to see the scenes from his life when he was a young man, through his career in a foreign government, and then as an old man. And throughout his life, Daniel made a habit of seeking the Lord first. From 18 to 80, Daniel chose to stand for God. Maybe you're in a place in life where you've got to choose to stand for God, even if that means you stand alone or maybe you're doing okay today, but you want to be ready for that day, as certainly it will come. If so, you'll find encouragement in Dr. McGee's booklet on Daniel titled Stand Up. You can download it for free by clicking on the free booklets tab in the resources section at ttb.org. Or to find out more about the many other resources we offer to deepen your personal study of God's Word, give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Tomorrow, we'll wrap up our study of Daniel 10 as he gets the answer to his prayer. And until then, this is Steve Schwetz for all of us at Through the Bible, thanking God that we share your company on this journey to heaven.
Sin hath left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.